The good Lord said during his personal ministry, if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, he has profited nothing. The song we have just sung, Heaven Holds All to Me, is a good song written by Tillett S. Tidley. I knew Brother Tidley. He lived south of Greenville, Texas several years ago, and he's written several of our songs, good songs in our songbook. Good to have you present for this Lord's Day morning service, and I'm happy that you've reposed in me the responsibility of teaching the Old Jerusalem Gospel as it's revealed. I want to talk to you for a little while today about God's two immutable laws. By immutable, I mean unchangeable, unrefutable. And I believe that man is a composite being. I believe that when God made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. I believe when the spirit leaves man, then you're dead. Matter of fact, that's what James said. James, the second chapter, he said, the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead, being alone. And so when that spirit, that immortal spirit, departs from our body, then we are dead. The body goes back to dust from whence it came, and the spirit goes to God. And of all of his creation, he only put immortality in man. He didn't put it in cows and hogs and sheep and cattle. He put it only in man. We are made in the image of God. And I believe that God has two immutable laws that he has placed here. One is the natural law and the other spiritual law. And I believe that we have to respect natural law. And if we don't respect God's natural laws, we have to pay the penalty. I'll illustrate that in just a moment. But the same thing is true with his spiritual laws. But the difference is, and I'll talk about this a little later, is that if you violate God's natural laws, you pay immediately. You pay the price. I'll illustrate that in a moment. If you don't obey God's spiritual law, that's put off until you die. That's why it's difficult to get people to be baptized and obey the gospel, is because the punishment is not immediate. Two different laws. I don't think you'll argue with me much about this because it's so plain and, well, you experience it every day. I told you from 1 Corinthians 2, and I preached on this a number of times, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. And I told you that our minds are divided into two categories, the natural man and the spiritual man, and we operate mostly on the natural side, but we are to operate also on the spiritual side by becoming a Christian and living a Christian life. Well, I believe on the natural side, in my lesson today, is that we obey the natural laws of God. One of the first things a little baby learns is self-preservation. Now, we're talking about his natural laws first. A little baby learns that there are certain things that he or she can't do because it gets them into trouble. And sometimes we learn things in the natural world the hard way. If a baby puts his hand on a stove, it burns him and he cries. But he learns a lesson from that, a hot stove. He learns through the laws of nature, you don't touch something hot. I knew a little boy, he was about 2 years old, and we call him the troublesome twos. And he had the propensity to pull a dog's tail. He just walked up, he liked to pull a dog's tail. Finally, he pulled a dog's tail, and that dog turned around and snapped him, bit him. He cried, didn't hurt him badly, but he cried for a long time. But it taught him a lesson. Under natural law, you don't pull a dog's tail. You don't put your hand on a hot stove or iron or anything of that kind. These natural laws have no respect of persons. Jerry read in your hearing from Acts 10, and the reason I wanted that read, it says God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's true in the spiritual realm, but it's also true in the natural realm. You know, if there's a hot wire lying down out here, a storm comes and blows electric wire down, and it's down and it still has charge in it of electricity. If you touch that wire, you'll be electrocuted. Now, we know that. At least we should know it. And it would be foolish to go out here and grab a wire after a storm when it comes off of the pole. But that wire will kill a little baby just as quick as it'll kill a grown man, an innocent baby, because in God's natural laws, there are no respecter of persons. And that live wire will kill a baby just like it'll kill you. That's a point I want to make to you, because if we can let it soak into our minds and digest it, that in God's natural laws, he's no respecter of persons, the same thing is true in his spiritual laws, which I'll talk about in just a moment. You take water. There are a number of things we learn about water. We learn under natural law that water will congeal into ice at 32 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. We all know that. You've seen ice this winter. And we have to respect God's law of water turning to ice. And I'll tell you how we respect it. For example, if you're driving an automobile and it gets cold enough and there's water on the highway, that water will turn to ice by natural law. And then it becomes dangerous. And if you don't respect that, you'll probably wind up in the hospital or dead. If you try to drive on ice, that's a natural law of God. And we all have enough judgment, at least most of us do, I hope, to respect that law. That water will congeal to ice, even on a highway. And when you're driving, you better slow down. On our highway signs, it'll say, warning, there may be ice on the bridge. Well, of course, it's slower to leave the bridges. And many people have been killed by going across a bridge too fast when ice is on. What are you talking about, Hoagland? I'm talking about natural law. And you know, there's a number of other things about water that we have to respect and it turning to ice. We put antifreeze in our automobiles, and the reason we put antifreeze in the radiator is that if the temperature drops low enough, that it'll not only burst your radiator, but it'll burst the block in your automobile. And we have to respect that law. That's a natural law. When I was a boy, the only car we had was an old four-cylinder Dodge. And we didn't have enough money to put antifreeze in it. And my job, my daddy would say, Ward, go out there and drain the car. I knew where the petcock was, and I'd go out there and I'd water to run out of that old Dodge and drain it all out, because it was going to freeze that night. And if I didn't drain it, it would not only burst the radiator, it'd burst the block and ruin the engine. Then the next day when we drove it, we'd have to pour water in the radiator. What were we doing? Respecting God's natural law. You may not know it, but that's all we were doing. And if we hadn't respected that law, we'd have lost our automobile. Do you follow what I'm talking about? What I'm showing you is God does have natural laws, and of course he has spiritual laws. When the astronomer looks into the heavens, he can predict when an eclipse will be 100 years from now. He does that through natural law. The astronomer does. He can tell you when there'll be an eclipse 100 years ahead of time. Because God's laws are so precisioned that he can do that. And the apothecary in a drugstore who fills a prescription, if he fills that prescription would work on a man. It doesn't make any difference if he lives in Canada or Japan, wherever it is, by natural law. That's what we call natural law. We all relate to that. And then there's the law of gravity. We talk about gravity. Gravity is that which pulls us down here to the earth. When God made this earth, he made it where it's spinning at 100 miles an hour at the equator, gives us night and day. We know that scientifically. That's natural law. And, of course, out a good ways from the earth, you have the gravity pull. That's why when you walk, you don't have to worry about floating around in the air as the astronauts do up there where there's no gravity. They sort of float around. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about it because of the natural law of gravity pulling you down to the earth. When you go out here and get in your automobile to drive home, you don't have to worry about that car sticking to the pavement or to the land when you drive it. It's not going to start floating around. Someone says, why? Gravity, pulling it down. It keeps that automobile down here on Earth. As a matter of fact, an airplane fights gravity and overcomes it. By natural law, we've learned that with enough thrust on an engine, whether it's a jet engine or a piston-powered machine, make any difference. If you put enough thrust on it and fix the wing where it has lift on it, the ailerons, and you give it enough power, it's going to defy the laws of gravity, and it's going to take off. That's how you fly when you get an airplane. That airplane, by the pilot, is defying the laws of gravity. The law of gravity wants to keep that plane down because of the pull. But we have learned through natural law that if we give that plane enough thrust and have that wing made correctly, it's going to lift. That's why when that plane taxis down the runway and gets so much speed, then it takes off. That's how you fly into the wild blue yonder. It defies the law. We want our automobiles to respect the laws of nature, but an airplane defies the laws of nature, right? That's exactly what takes place. Now, when that airplane gets up there, as long as that engine's running, you're fine. But you let that engine go out and you see what happens. Gravity, once again, pulls it down here to the earth. And it crashes. Or it does not necessarily crash, but it has to land somewhere. It's not going to stay up there. When the pilot left LaGuardia Field up in New York several months ago, his airplane sucked in birds into the engine and he lost his engines. He radioed back to the tower and says, I'm going to try to turn around and get back to LaGuardia Field. Says, I've got birds in my wing, in my engine. But as he turned around, he found out he couldn't make it. He said, I've got to land in the Hudson River. And that's where he landed it. And fortunately, he saved all the people. Why? The law of gravity. He respected the law of gravity. As a matter of fact, he had to fly that plane in harmony with the law of gravity. If it hadn't been for the law of gravity, he wouldn't have had to land anyway. That's why I say you've got to respect God's laws. He has two different laws. They're immutable. One is natural law, and the other spiritual law. As a matter of fact, if we didn't have gravity, this earth would be shoved into outer space and we'd all be dead. We just take that for granted. It's formed by the rotation of God, by this earth, and it's turning its rotation and its rotundity. We don't worry about it. I used to hear a song when I was a young man. If this world keeps on turning, as I'm sure it's bound to do, I'll keep on loving you. Do you worry about this earth, the law of gravity, this earth turning? I don't think you do. I don't think you're worrying about that now. You're not worrying about when you go out here and get in your automobile as to whether that automobile is going to stay right down here on the earth. Does that bother you? I don't think so, because you couldn't do anything about it anyway. But I want to tell you something. If we lost gravity, we're all gone. God, when he made this earth, made it that way, and he wrapped around it what we call oxygen. And as long as you stay here on earth, you breathe this oxygen. And when he made our lungs, we have to have it. We just take it for granted. You can't live without oxygen. But did you know when the astronaut goes up beyond where he wrapped this oxygen, he has to take his earth with him. He has to take his oxygen with him. Because it's not up there. Of course, I know infidels say, oh, this is a big accident. That'd be a pretty big accident, wouldn't it? For all this to happen, God did this. And it's awesome, the power of God and what all he's done under the laws of nature. And we have to respect this law of gravity, because when we jump out of a 20-story building, out of a window, we know what's going to happen to us. We know that we're going to die. Therefore, people with good sense don't jump out a window 20 stories high. Self-preservation. The little baby learns self-preservation. We want to preserve this body. We try to drive as carefully as we can. And when some idiot violates the laws of nature and starts driving out here 100 miles an hour on these roads and taking chances, he's going to wind up in the morgue because he violates the laws of nature. And they are no respecter of persons. I could go on and on. I talked about water and I talked about the ice. Another thing that you have to respect water is the fact that when you're driving and it's raining enough, that water can get on the pavement and a car will, what we call hydroplane. It gets up on the water and you lose control of it just like you do on ice. I did that one time and it like scared me to death. Had no control. The car was running on top of the water instead of the pavement. I learned my lesson that I have to respect God's law of nature. And the law of nature is that under certain conditions, water can become so thick on a highway, your car will hydroplane and get on the water instead of the pavement. I don't know whether you've experienced that or not, but take warning, it can happen. That's all embodied, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just talking to you just like we might be sitting in a room talking one-on-one. To show you that God has two immutable laws. He has the laws of nature, which we must respect. And if we don't, we die. We've got to respect the laws of nature. But he also has spiritual laws. For example, he says in Romans 3 that we're all sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we don't get rid of sin, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. And that is a spiritual law of God. Just like jumping out of a window will kill you. But this is spiritual law, not a natural law. God has two kinds of laws. But they are both without respect of persons. I don't care who you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus came into this world. God loved us so much that he sent him down here to die. That if we'll obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of sins and live a Christian life and be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, we'll receive the crown of life. Men back through the years learned that God has spiritual laws. Adam learned that God meant what he said in the garden when he said, don't eat of that tree. He learned his lesson the hard way. That was a violation of a spiritual law. Cain learned the hard way that he was to offer sacrifice with blood in it. He violated spiritual law. And God rejected his sacrifice. We're not talking about natural law. We're not talking about the law of gravity. And we're not talking about water and hydroplaning and all of that. That's natural law. I'm talking to you now about spiritual law. Going to heaven or to hell. The Bible says if you don't get rid of your sins, you're going to hell. Just like natural law says, if you put your hand on a hot stove, you're going to get burned. That's what it says. Natural law tells you. And someone said, well, I know that, preacher. I won't argue with you about that because I touched a hot stove one time. Well, I'm glad you agree with me on that. I think a man would be foolish not to agree with me. That's just a fact. You know natural law. And you know if you get out here and take your life and do things in violation of natural law, you're going to pay the penalty. And a lot of people do. A lot of people do. Some people just defy natural law. And you can't do it and get by with it. Sooner or later, you're going to pay. Now, the same thing is about true spiritual law. We're sinners. We got to get rid of sin in order to go to heaven. And we got to live the Christian life. And the Bible tells us this. Cain learned it. Moses learned that you can't violate the law of God. Because when he smote the rock instead of speaking to it, He violated spiritual law, and God didn't allow him to enter the promised land. His laws are no respecter of persons, as we read in your text. Just like a little baby can be killed by drinking poison, just like a grown man. Poison will kill a baby too. It's without respect to person. And we have to respect those natural laws, but we have to respect spiritual laws also. And the spiritual law is the gospel, Romans 1:16, to get rid of these sins so we'll go to heaven and won't go to hell. And that's where we're going if we die in our sins. But he provided a way to get rid of your sins. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. The wonderful benedictions of God in not only the natural law, but in spiritual laws. And so if a person will obey the gospel, Romans 1:16, he can have his sins obliterated, he can live the Christian life, and he won't go to hell. But the Lord says that's where you're going if you don't get rid of them. That's right. And he gives us the plan of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, whereby we can obliterate our sins and stand justified in the eyes of God. Someone says to a preacher, I'd like to ask this question. Why is it that people respect natural law, but they don't respect spiritual law? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be frank with you. One of the reasons is that if you disrespect natural law, you pay the penalty immediately. If you disrespect spiritual law, you don't pay until you die. Pretty big difference. But it's coming. You know, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. God doesn't punish you immediately if you're not baptized. God doesn't punish you immediately if you miss church and if you fail to live the Christian life and if you don't observe the Lord's Supper. He doesn't punish you immediately unless you repent and correct it. Of course, that's reserved until judgment. And so people sit out here and they listen to me and they listen to other preachers and we beg them to obey the gospel and we beg them to come up here and be baptized so that they'll miss hell and gain heaven. They just sit there. You can't get them to come up. Someone says, what do you think would change that? Well, I know what would change it, but it wouldn't be the will of God. It wouldn't be the way God wants it. Let's say I extend the invitation. We got a bunch of sinners here, and some of them that are out of duty and hadn't been to church, as hadn't done things like they ought to. They need to repent. They know they need to repent. They know that. God knows it. They know it. And these that are not been baptized or born again, they know they need to do that so they'll miss hell and gain heaven. And I extend the invitation. They don't show up. But let's just say, and I'm only illustrating, this may be a little crude, but I want to show you something. Let's say that after the service is over, God takes you out here on the parking lot if you're a sinner, and he just whips the life out of you. He gives you a whipping, and it hurts. It hurts bad. He says, son, the next time that invitation is extended, you better go up, or I'm going to give you another whipping. I'll guarantee you the next time that I extend the invitation, these rows would be full and that you'd knock down, people would knock you down in the aisle to get up here at the front. I'll guarantee you that. But someone said, wait a minute, preacher. If God did that, they'd be the reason they'd be going up, they'd be afraid of getting that whipping. That's right. And God doesn't want it that way. He could. Someone says, could God do that? God can do anything he wants to. God wants you to come up because of a sermon that shows you you're in sin, and if you don't correct it, you're going to go to hell, and if you correct it, you're going to go to heaven, and if that's not enough to persuade you to come up, he's not going to take you out on the parking lot and give you a whipping. He could, but he's not. He's not going to do that. He wants the gospel to save you. Do you remember what God said through Abraham unto the rich man after he went to hell? He said, send Lazarus back that he may teach my five brothers not to come to this awful place. Said, I didn't act right while I was on earth, but I don't want them to come down here where I am. And said, send Lazarus back that he might preach to them. The Lord said, they have Moses and the prophets, and they won't hear them. They wouldn't hear one though he would be raised from the dead. If the gospel is not powerful enough to move you, my friends, there's nothing going to move you. And if God used some other means to move you, then you wouldn't be genuinely converted. You'd be coming up for some other reason except the love of God and the love of the gospel. And that's why he's not going to force you to do it. Someone says, your point then is this, that if you jump out of a 20-story building, out of a window, you pay immediately because you die. If you put your hand on a hot stove, it burns you immediately. You pay the penalty for violating natural law immediately. That's correct. If you get out here and act like an idiot and drive an automobile 100 miles an hour down a road and without any caution and you have a wreck, you die immediately or you go to the hospital. You violated natural law. You pay the penalty immediately. It's not put off. But in the case of spiritual law, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. That's when the punishment's going to take place. But since it's not immediate, people won't come up and be baptized. They say, well, I'm going to live so and so years. I've got time to do it. I know it's the truth, but I'm not going to get right with God right now. You ask me why people respect natural law but not spiritual law. I'm trying to explain it to you. And I believe I'm right about that. Not a person in this audience but what respects natural law. I gave you several examples of it. I know you respect it. You're going to respect it when you leave this building. You know God has natural law. And I hope that you will respect spiritual law. Because I want to tell you, that punishment is coming whether you believe it or not. And if you wait too late, you're going to be like the rich man. You're going to wake up too late. The gospel is God's call to save. You're to obey the gospel and get rid of those sins. This is God's spiritual law. I'm not talking about his natural law now. I just use that as an illustration. You need to respect spiritual law even more than you do natural law. And if you do, if you need to be baptized, you will. You'll repent. You'll confess and be baptized. If you're out of duty and not serving God, you'll also ask God to forgive you. I hope today that you respect spiritual law. If you don't, one of these days you're going to be sorry. We're going to give you an opportunity at this time. Shall we stand and sing our invitation song?